In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to begin to consider the readings that are given to us in All Souls Day, or for All Souls Day. You may have already noticed, and you will when you open up the lectionary, that for the first reading there are three options. For the second reading, there are 13 options, and for the Gospel, there are 12 options. So what I've decided to do is take the first option all the way through, and then in an appendix, add commentary on the other 11, 12, 23 readings, so that you're there, and they're an appendix to this So there'll be like two discs, I would imagine, for this time. All right. I want to talk about first. You see, the basic presupposition in all of this, and it goes back first century, is that everybody who's called to believe is called to sanctity. And they're called to that holiness without which it is impossible to see God, as the New Testament says. So, we're praying now for all of our brothers and sisters who are called to an eternity of unbelievable joy and rapture and union with God. But they need purification. And so, we pray for them all the time. But we take this November 1 for a chance to pray for all those who are still in need of purification before they can see God. It's interesting that St. Faustina Kowalska, in her writings, speaks of some of her suffering as being a preparation, purifying her, so that she could die and go directly into the immediate, unending grasp, embrace, vision of God. And so, these texts are meant to help us understand the meaning of life. The meaning of life isn't just from here to death. The meaning of life is from here to eternity. And so these first ones, in part one, which I'm going to do now, I'm just going to consider the fact that there is a universal call to holiness. There's no options. Like, I think I'll just try to sneak in. As Ralph Martin often says, you know, it's better to shoot for heaven. And then, if you fall short, there's always purgatory. But if you decide you're just going to settle yourself with purgatory and you miss, there's not much option. You're in hell. And so this is a very important meditation for us as we consider our future. We will die and we will be judged by God. And that's very important. So I'm going to read now, for instance, from Lumen Gentium, number 11. Fortified by so many and such powerful means of salvation, all the faithful, whatever their condition or state, are called by the Lord, each in his own way, to that perfect holiness whereby the Father himself is perfect. Be you perfect as your heavenly Father. That is, filled with agape, filled with love, and sensitive to the slightest movement of the Holy Spirit now. So that when we die, we go from here into the vision of God. Now we're praying for all those who need further purification. That's what this feast is all about. We just yesterday did all the saints. And now we're honoring all those, whether they went directly to God or whether they went through purgation. They're there now. And now we pray for all those who are still in need of purgation. Now this is a quote from Pius XI, Rerum Omnium. Holiness is not a counsel, it is a law. Very powerful. The laity are bound by this law, as is obvious. Everything and all things, there is no exception. Now, that we have to keep telling people that, but in an encouraging way. You know, well, some people go off and be monks and nuns and priests and stuff. You know, but I'm just going to do my best and hope for the best. As I say, you know, if you say, well, you know, if I miss, there's always purgatory. But if you miss purgatory, there's nothing else. So don't shoot for purgatory. Shoot for heaven. Well, how do you do that? Well, that's the whole purpose of this first section, the universal call to holiness. St. Francis de Sales, for instance, wrote his book, The Introduction to the Devout Life, because he saw that regular lay people are being deprived of the teaching that calls them to sanctity. We're all called to sanctity. And the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, can transform us all. And that's the basic message. And now we're praying for those who still need purification. Again, if you've ever read St. Faustina, she understood that a lot of her sufferings were to prepare her to go directly into God's presence without going through purgatory. And they were great. God can help us if we begin now. Okay. Now, one of the places where there is beautiful teaching on this is Romans 6:1-11. You see, the central theme of Romans 6:1-11 is, here it is right in front of me, the call to holiness. He doesn't say, you know, well, if you want to become a religious, or you've got, you know, you're kind of fixated on the idea of becoming a saint, well, this is the way for you. For everybody else, there's another way. There is no other way. So, the text there in 6, what then shall we say, that we remain in sin, so that grace may abound? No way. Those of us who have died to sin, how can we go on living it any longer? Well, I don't remember dying to sin. You were gotten out of original sin at baptism and prepared by the indwelling of the Spirit never to sin in a way that causes you to live that eternal life. When the confessor finished hearing, I think St. Thomas Aquinas' confession, he was in Fossa Nuova, Cistercian Abbey, on the way up to a council in the Lateran, and they asked him, he stayed there for the night, give us a talk. He gave a talk on the Song of Songs. And then that night he died. And as he knew he was dying, he asked one of the monks to come and hear his confession. Which one? Anyone. Any validly ordained priest. So he probably lived, you know, was strong enough to make a general confession. And the monk, who can't say what happened there, said, I can testify to this. That man never committed a mortal sin in his life. The same about Therese. They say that confessor said the same. But we do have confession for the rest of us in case we've ever committed a mortal sin. Why? Mercy. God does not want us separated from Him for all eternity. When He dreamed of us back, you know, multi millennia ago, He thought of us with Him in heaven. And so that's what this is all about. So The teaching in Romans 6, 1 to 11, which we will consider at some other time in detail, you see, is all about, we're called, you see, don't you know that when we were baptized into his death. We were buried with him through baptism unto death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, the glory of the Father, the Spirit of the Father, you see, so we are meant to walk in the newness of life and never commit another serious sin. And if you can get, you know, if you can get to it by yielding to the Holy Spirit, never commit any more sins. So there's no more purification needed. It's already happened. So when you die, you go see God, and that's it. Now, there are many people, you know, as a priest, I meet them sometimes in confession, and you know that they are right now ready for heaven. If they were to die today, they'd go to heaven. There's a purity of heart. It's a sensitivity to their sins, and they're ready. Okay. So that's what Romans 6, 1 to 11 is all about. It's about this notion, you see, that our old man was co-crucified with Christ when? At baptism. So that the body of sin could be rendered powerless and we no longer say are slaves of sin. He who has died to that is justified, is freed from sin. And if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will live with him, knowing this, that Christ, raised from the dead, no longer dies. The death he died to sin. The life he lives to God. So you too, consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's not moral exhortation to get some people to feel, you know, pious and give more in the collection. That's describing metaphysics. That's what God has done with us. And so that's this universal call to holiness, you see? And so it goes on in 2 Corinthians, the one who makes both of us and both us and you firm in Christ and has anointed us is God. He has sealed us and given us the pledge of the Spirit in our hearts. That's a thrilling thing, isn't it? To be aware of what we have been given in baptism and confirmation, that is the indwelling third person of the Trinity moving us toward the Father in love, in generosity, in trust, in mortification. And that's why he says, you see, that he has given us the pledge and he has anointed us, he has sealed us and given us the pledge of the Spirit in our hearts. So anointing means the action of God, arousing faith in the heart of those who hear the word. Sealing refers to God's action in baptism, and the giving of the Spirit refers to the experiential concomitant to that awareness of the presence in action. Now, after the council was given to us to lay out a plan to renew the church. It was God gave that to John the 23rd, a saint, and it was to call us back to what it's all about, all those beautiful documents. But then he poured out the Holy Spirit in the charismatic renewal, not in the charismatic renewal as such, so that we could actually implement the teaching of Vatican II. Well, that's enough for that. That's the universal call to holiness.